Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, proper 29 of the church year, is a day that we call Christ the King. We acknowledge Christ's kingship over us and in the world. Yet, most of us have no understanding or idea of what a king actually is. The closest we have is politicians, and let's be honest, who wants to follow them? In medieval times, when a king said, come here, you came. When a king said, go, you went. When a king said, fight and die, you did it. Much like today, in ecclesiastical circles, the only answer to a king is yes, same as to a bishop. We think we know what kingship is, but I suspect that it's different than we think. This is a Bible. Now, you've probably all read it, right? Or at least parts of it. But there's something interesting about it. This is supposed to be the inspired word of God. This is supposed to be what we follow and how we learn of God's existence. Yet what do we say? God's my friend. I read the creation story. It's just a story. We don't need it. How can it be true that the people in Exodus traveled throughout the entire land for 40 years? Leviticus? We don't follow those laws. Better yet, modern circles have it say, we don't use the Old Testament. Still better. We heard from Revelation today. We don't need that. That's just a dream. Gets even better. How about Paul? He was just a misogynistic woman hater who denied somebody their ability to have a job. Much more manageable now, isn't it? Gets still worse. If he's our God and King, we go through and say, all that we need is this word. Love. That's all that matters. Christ died 2,000 years ago, and that's good enough. This is not the gospel. This is the key to the gospel. See, a good king actually lays down just laws. Wouldn't ask you to do something he's not willing to do himself. It's not a story. It's not a way to understand how to love people in the world. It's not that simple. Is Christ King? All of this matters. Every bit of it. It's his love letter to us. It's how he watches over us, how he protects us, and more importantly, how he identifies himself to us. It's how we know that he's a good king. It's how our faith grows. Pretty shocking to see a Bible destroyed in front of your eyes, isn't it? But did I get the point across? Did I get the point across how important this is? If Christ is king, He is not friend. He is not companion. He's not magic genie. He's not the person you go to only when things are bad. He is someone that you follow for the rest of your life. Do you remember the story of the Roman centurion in the Gospels whose daughter was sick? And he sent a messenger to Christ. He sent a messenger saying, "My daughter is very sick and I know I'm not a Gentile, but can you please come heal her? She'll actually get up and walk." And as Jesus is actually heading towards the Roman's house, what happens? He sends another messenger and he says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But I am a man who is under authority and I have men who are under my authority. I tell them to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. If you but say she will be healed, then she will be healed." That very hour we read, the girl was healed. What's Christ's response to that? "Truly, I have never seen such faith among the Jews." The Roman soldier understood the absoluteness of a king. If he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we heard last week in the collect, read, mark, and inwardly digest. Not the parts that you want. Not just the parts that the world says might be okay. That's everything. It's the parts we don't like. It's the parts we don't care for. It's the parts that make us uncomfortable. It's not just love. We get caught up in the idea that very common idea of love, the very romantic idea of love. That's a Greek word that says it's called eros. What eros means is a very physical love. That's what people make their king. In reality, the word in the Bible used for love is never eros. It is always philia or agape. These are not the same kinds of love. Now, earlier, you heard me say that love is the key. And it is. Because the way that the Bible uses the word love is that it is a motive from which all action flows. It is not gaining our heart's desire. It is having that compassion and that ability to care for people that gives us the ability to follow our King. He never asks us to do anything that he does not do himself. Do you understand that he actually went to a Roman form of torture, was beaten with scourges, was nailed to wood, and died? I don't have a single friend in the world that would do that for me. I'm not even sure that I could do that for somebody else. But by God Himself, I sure will try. But I only understand that because I don't tear the Bible apart. I understand that because it's the littlest words in the Bible and the most innocuous things that we read that make the difference. We're getting ready to go into Advent, where we wait with anticipation of the one that we call King. As we wait for that anticipatory act, think about what a king is. and if you are a servant, what you are called to do. You cannot be faithful to God without being faithful to the Word. And if you don't think so, John's Gospel begins how? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. He is the King that we await in Advent. He is, was, and always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Son of Man. Ponder what it means to be king and servant, and choose wisely. Amen.